I invite you to hear our text today. It comes from Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans written by Paul to the church in Rome. But these words today I'll read to you from a paraphrase of the scripture, likely one you've heard by Eugene Peterson called The Message. And so I invite you to hear verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12 from The Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, the gift of this day, we pause to give thanks. Meet us here, O Lord, as we dive in and explore what it means to be a hospitable people. We thank you for the ways that you've called us into this community of faith where we might grow in our love of you and of neighbor. Meet us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 6 weeks on hospitality. Aren't you excited? You know, I see some head shaking, some uncertainty. Let me share this with you, that as we dive into this, one of the realities that I'm often finding is that following Jesus messes with my life. Am I the only one here? Following Jesus really messes up my life sometimes. Because about the time I think I've got something figured out and I start to get comfortable, I then dive in a little bit deeper. And God says, oh, you thought comfort was the most important thing, didn't you? And I'm nudged a little. I want you to know that through this series, as we look at hospitality, my hope is that you will find moments of great encouragement and even some comfort of the gift of times when you reflect upon when you've experienced hospitality. But I also want you to know that the scripture challenges us. It moves us to be transformed by grace in a way that we can't be the same people we were. You see, that's what happens when you experience God's grace in its fullest. You don't want to be who you've been because you're becoming who God intended you to be. So as we go through this series, we're going to have some stretching experiences together. We're going to have some other times where I hope you'll ponder and reflect upon moments of great joy and celebration. And so today I'm going to try to introduce you to this core concept of hospitality. Now, to get us started, one of the things that's helpful is to kind of give us a sense of definition, because hospitality can be defined in lots of ways. In fact, we use the word to define an entire industry, right? The hospitality industry. And so we often will quote and think of it that way, and immediately we think of hotels, of travel plans, of those kind of things. And so that's helpful to some degree, but it also makes it something that we consume, not something we're committed to practicing. You see the difference? So when we think about it as this hospitality industry, it's a product that we consume, not a commitment that we live out. And so the first thing we have to do is recognize that when we talk about it, we're not saying, let's become Holiday Inn, right? I mean, while you can tell somebody who stayed at a Holiday Inn, right, by how they look the next morning, I've yet to really feel that that's true. Because my last stay in a Holiday Inn, I look like I had stayed in the Motel 6 that closed 6 months before. I don't sleep well when I stay in somewhere else. I usually have a miserable first night, and so the second day of any trip that I'm on is me getting over the fact that I'm going to have to be weary enough till I fall asleep the next night, hopefully better. The other thing is, I haven't had cable in 6 years, and so I find myself drawn to the Discovery Channel. And suddenly it becomes 2 a.m., and I go, why have I not gone to sleep? So all that to say, I'm not looking for us to try and adopt that which we know and make it what hospitality looks like, right? Part of it is we need to find what does the scripture say to us about hospitality. So the first thing that Douglas Webster does in his book, Table Grace, And if you don't have a copy and would like to get one, see me. I'll be happy to share one, because we are studying this on Sunday mornings before worship throughout the month of July. So if you want to dive in and have some deeper conversation beyond worship, know that's available. But the first thing that he says about hospitality is he uses this translation of Romans 12, that it's our everyday ordinary life. It's our everyday ordinary life that we need to consider and think about when we're talking about hospitality. So it's not just these random occasions where we have this special meal, but it's our everyday life. He goes on to say that Jesus invited more people to join him for a meal than he invited to the synagogue. Did you know that? Jesus invited more people to gather around a table for a meal than he invited to the synagogue. And we could also argue that that he had a mixture of occasions, both at the synagogue and at the table of reception. You know, and as we go through this series, you're going to see moments of gathering at the table with Jesus that were transformative, that were life-giving, right? Remember one of the stories our kids read in VBS of Zacchaeus. Jesus said, "I'm going to sit at your table." And the community got so irritated, yet it transformed Zacchaeus' life. Or think about the other story our kids learned about Mary and Martha and the acceptance they found in Jesus, that Martha got so busy being about the work of hospitality that she wasn't present with her guest. Right? So hospitality has some good sides to it, but it also has some pitfalls that we'll learn along the way. So the first thing is it's our ordinary, everyday life that we're talking about. So before you get in your mind, okay, Pastor Brian's going to invite us to somehow create a feast where we invite 30 people we don't know, I need you to know that's not what I'm inviting you to. I'm inviting you to think about your everyday, ordinary life and how hospitality impacts it, both as a recipient of that welcome and kindness, but also as one who extends hospitality. So let's give some definition to it. First, when we talk about hospitality, it's important to say that it's about being welcoming. Yes, that's a part of it. But this welcoming is part of it is we have to acknowledge what's the motivation behind our welcome. What is the motivation behind our welcome? In his book, he shares in some ways that it is around the table, and I had it marked and then I dropped my book, that hospitality remains one of Christ's most basic provisions for community. We said that in our call to worship. So one of the most basic ways that we experience community is through hospitality. Okay? And so the welcoming is the first part of that. We as a church work hard to welcome those who come. We extend a hand or a nod, sometimes a hug. I've repeatedly tried to encourage you that the first thing you share is not who are you, not super hospitable, just as an FYI. Are you with me? That the first thing you say, "Hi, my name is," and then say, it's a beautiful book, and it's a very quick read. I sat down and as a slow reader was able to read it in a few sessions very quickly. And so in the book, though, the gift of that book is that you get a chance to see through the eyes of a 10-year-old what it's like to walk into a new environment. Can you imagine walking in as a fifth grader as your first experience of school, and you have a facial deformity that really stands out? And so it's the first thing everybody sees. And even before they realize it, this is what happens. They turn really quickly. Or they make a face, or they make a reaction without even realizing it, because it's so radically different. And so you get a chance to walk with Augie, or August is his name, throughout his story of his fifth grade year. So it's, you know, for those of you who think, well, this is complex, there's a great kids book that can help you learn some of the basics of hospitality, right? In this story, you get a chance to see how it goes well and how it doesn't go well, how sometimes those that are around him, as kids that are around him, are not kind. And they say really hurtful things, and they do really mean things. And, you know, just like every fifth grade class, there's this in-group and an out-group. And guess what, adults? We still have them. Amen? So, you know, reality is maybe the reason we need to go back to reading children's books is because we didn't learn the lesson so well then. And so it'd be helpful for us to have a reminder. But the beauty of the book is that throughout it, you get a chance to see kindness expressed in such powerful ways. Through different characters, through their own struggles, through their own stories, they become more real people the more you learn about them. You can reflect and respond, and the beauty of the book is that you hear about Augie's story from different perspectives, and you hear the story of those that are encountering him. So part of the reason hospitality always begins with welcoming is that we have to begin by building a relationship. And relationships take time. And sometimes they take even more work. Amen? So if we're talking about Christian hospitality, one of the things you need to recognize is that early on, that our openness to others is connected to our openness to God, because God has made us a relational people. Now, I'm not saying everybody in this room needs to become an extrovert like me. So I need you to hear this. I'm not saying that everybody in this room should suddenly become the most charismatic, extroverted person on the planet Earth. No, what I am saying is that we need to become more open to others, because in receiving them, this is a core belief we have, we are receiving God into our midst. Because they are a child of God who's been made in God's image as well. And so if that's our core belief, that's our core kind of value, then we begin to see others as a greeting and a welcoming of God in our midst. And so the more we open ourselves to others, the more we are open to God's blessing, to God's presence in our midst. In his book, he says this. He says, one of the best kept secrets about hospitality is that those who offer it benefit more than those who receive it. When we open the front door of our homes to friends and strangers, set a table, put on a meal, and break bread together, we invite God's blessing. We invite God's blessing. Our opening ourselves up to others invites God's presence into our midst. It gives us a different way of experiencing the world. And in some ways, he goes on to say that, you know, the exchange student that we welcome helps us to broaden our understanding of the world. The missionary helps us to pray more deeply. The single mom who increases our family. The neighbor whose next door presence trains us in practical love. He goes on to say it's these ordinary, everyday things that as we open ourselves, they transform us. They make us different. They make us more open to the work of God. In some ways, this is what he says. He says, the act of opening our homes and our lives to friends and strangers holds real promise for spiritual growth. So if we're talking about growing in our faith, one of the first steps is to begin practicing hospitality. And I don't mean saying, good to see you, have no idea who you are, and going to our seat. I mean really engaging one another. Really opening ourselves, our homes, and our friends. If we open our life and our homes to those around us, it begins to transform us. And in fact, he said, this holds real promise for spiritual growth. So if we're seeking to grow deeper in our love of Christ, this is going to be one of our first steps as a congregation, is opening our lives and our homes. Now let me share with you a couple quick things of how I see that lived out. One, I want to share with you of how one might open their home. I didn't grow up in the church. I don't know if I told you this, but I didn't grow up in the church. So most of the Bible stories I learned in seminary as I was preparing for ministry. Really helpful. I would say it's probably helpful to have a little more background knowledge before saying yes. But nonetheless, I ran into seminary and made a C in New Testament because I was arrogant enough to believe that I had read the New Testament and therefore I knew it. I'm so grateful for my New Testament professor who loved me through my arrogance. And humbled me when he handed me my C at the end of my semester. And I realized, I can quote more than most of the people in my class. How'd I get a C? Well, because I wasn't listening. But nonetheless, I remember my first encounter of hospitality when my family first started attending church. It really transformed my life in powerful ways. And I'll share more about that later. But it really began to change my heart and mind and how I saw others. And particularly how I dealt with my anger, because I was an angry teenager. In part because I wasn't able to put into words what I'd experienced as a child. And so now I can look back and see that. But nonetheless, I remember on Sundays after worship, we had a tradition that quickly formed. The more my family became active in the church and it began to change us, we began doing Sunday lunch. I'm one of six kids, his, hers, and ours. So if you imagine, a breakfast table with just my family was eight. And then my sisters and I were of this, you know, all within the same age block, always seemed to have a friend who was like, might as well have been a squatter because they lived in our house more than their own. You know what I'm talking about, right? So my parents said and had the mindset, if they're at our house, at least we know where they are. We still don't know that we always have an idea of what they're doing, but we can at least somewhat keep an eye on them. And so on any given Sunday, after worship, we would have 20 to 25 people at my parents' house. Even to this day, when my immediate family gathers, there are 22 of us. Six kids get married and have kids. I'm up to eight, moving on nine nieces and nephews. And there's another sister that comes into the mix, so there's seven of us when we're all together. But what I found is that, you know, the miracle of the loaves and fishes, I found every Sunday. Somehow those little biscuits that you come in four packs, there's 40 of them, they would multiply like bunnies. And somehow everybody had enough to eat. We would cook bacon and cook dozens of eggs, and somehow everybody always had enough, even if it didn't look like it was going to be enough. And I remember that my dad would never really say no to anybody coming to breakfast. In fact, he would always invite somebody, and I could see the look on my mom's face, who was not near as thrilled as he was, that somebody else was coming. But the door seemed to be open. And so my earliest experience of hospitality was that no matter who you were, if you were hungry, you had a place at our table. Now, you may not have a place at the table because it wasn't big enough, but you had a place to sit and somewhere to put your drink. And that was my first experience of hospitality, really, of watching that. And then I realized, even though my family wasn't a part of the church, they had practiced that throughout their years. And as I look back, some of the earliest and oldest members of my family were the ones that were training them in that level of hospitality. They were creating a safe place where people could find refuge and find welcome. They were practicing the very thing I was reading in Scripture. But here's the thing, I wasn't seeing lived out among the community of faith. So we have to begin practicing that. And as we'll see as we move through the series, we'll look at stories like the Last Supper, where Jesus gathers with his disciples. They were making a practice of gathering together. So we welcome, we open our lives and our tables to others. The second story that comes to mind for me, really, as we talk about opening our lives, is the gift of being in a covenant community together. Whether you realize it or not, I take a three-day trip every November, 3 to 4 days, depending on travel arrangements. And it's to meet with my covenant group that I've been meeting with now for 13 years. We meet weekly by phone for an hour every Thursday morning. We've blocked it out in our calendar. I tell the office I won't be in until after that call. And once a week, I gather with four other pastors that are United Methodist pastors in Mississippi, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, and Tennessee. And once a week, we gather together and we ask how it is with one another's souls. How is our family? How is ministry? How are we attending to the disciplines of our faith, of reading and praying, of exercising and being mindful of balance in our life and resting? We ask that of one another every week. And we have for the last 11 years made that commitment. They have transformed who I am by that weekly gathering. They know when I'm lying. Or when I'm not, and when I'm trying to hide the fact that I've not done very good at taking and resting. You know, they can see when I've not attended to my physical health. And they lovingly hold me accountable to that. And they ask how I'm going to do something different in the next week to be more attentive to that. This is what I'm talking about. Our welcome has to move into a deeper level of relationship. And we're going to see that each week as we build in this series. So the beginning of hospitality is the commitment to welcoming and to being open. Or as Nikki shared, it's to expressing kindness to someone near us. And expressing kindness, it's a level of opening our lives and moving us towards opening our homes to friend, to stranger, to those around us. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we seek to open our lives and our homes, Lord, help us to be open to the fact that that comes with some challenge. there are probably lots of excuses we'd build in our mind of why that would be too hard to do. I'm too shy. I don't know people. I'm too busy. For whatever excuses we might lift, move into our midst and help us to remember today, O God, a gift of hospitality that we have received. Who took time to show and care for us? Help us to embody and practice that which they offer to us as a gift. We pray these things in Jesus' name.